You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And I am joined in studio by my co-host, Ray Pingoy. Ray is the Youth Outreach Coordinator for the Respect Life Office. So welcome, Ray.
Good morning, Margie.
Good morning. You made it just in time, puffing and puffing here.
Yeah. It's crazy traffic out there. Well, actually, I forgot something at home and ran back. And
oh, no.
But long story short, I'm here.
Yay. So, And this is the feast day of St. Maria Goretti.
That's right.
Here on Wednesday, July 6th. And Maria Goretti, she really lived out chastity, right?
Oh,
to the point of she gave her life for chastity. I mean, isn't that amazing witness?
She stood up. She stood up for purity. And I think the best thing about her also is the forgiveness that she... You know, she forgave the attacker. What's her name? Alexander, was it?
I think it was Alejandro.
Alejandro, okay.
Alejandro. And how old was she when this all happened? I think she was fairly young.
She was 18 years old.
18? No, I think he was.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I thought she was 12.
Alejandro was 18, and she was about 12, yeah.
Yeah, back in those days, I mean, I think what... Women probably got married at a younger age, probably 18, years old, and, you know, men and women. And so he was looking at her beautiful, she was very beautiful for a 12-year-old, and very joyful. It just really lived out this love for God.
Yeah.
And then she forgave him, right?
That is...
He brutally stabbed her to death. And while she was still alive, I believe she forgave him. For the crime,
right? And she and he was there at, when she was declared a saint.
Yeah, that's because he was a minor in under Italian, justice, their justice system,
right.
And only had to serve 30 years in prison for the murder of Saint Maria Goretti. And he had a conversion in prison, which tells you that the death penalty is totally unnecessary. I mean, look, if there was a death penalty with this guy, he wouldn't have been allowed to convert and then serve the church. He was a lay brother in the Capuchin order,
mm-hmm.
In Italy and witnessed the canonization. So really a beautiful turnaround.
It's a beautiful story. And I kind of want to give a shout out to my little sister. Well, she's not little anymore. She graduated college already, and she went to a trip to the Philippines, and now she's back here in the U.S. She was there for like 2 months. It's her birthday today.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and I didn't know that her birthday landed on the feast day of St. Maria Goretti.
And what's her name?
Melanie Pingoy.
I thought you were going to say Maria.
No, Melanie Pingoy. My mother-in-law, her real name is Maria Goretti.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, happy feast day to your mother-in-law.
Yeah, that's right.
I know her very well. She's with Couples for Christ, the Foundation for Family Life. And they really are very... active in the pro-life, pro-family ministry,
right.
Here, especially in the Archdiocese, but across the world.
That's true.
They're doing
true.
Good work. I was actually, we were supposed to have my husband on as a guest to talk about some really important legal issues and some breaking legal news and all that, but he is at a hearing right now.
Oh, okay.
On behalf of a pro-lifer that we know who supposedly broke the bubble zone ordinance at one of the Chicago abortion clinics,
mm-hmm.
and they arrested him. This guy is not... violent or anything. He's not a scary man. But they arrested him, wow. which they're not supposed to do when you break an ordinance, you know.
They arrested him.
And so there's a hearing today, and it shouldn't last too long. But I'm hoping that he'll be able to join us later in the show. But if we could just say a quick prayer for this hearing, that it goes well. I was thinking we could maybe pray a memorare together with everybody here who's listening. So let's say in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have a new plan.
Okay.
And, you know, it was going to be part of the show anyways to have this open line Wednesday.
Great, yeah.
You know, it's summertime. I just thought it would be a perfect time to just take your calls, if you have questions, comments on relevant issues to the pro-life, pro-family, chastity, theology mm-hmm. of the body, those topics that are relevant to what we do and what we talk about on Life Talk. You can give us a call at 312-255-8408. Again, 312-255-8408. So we'd love to have your calls, and there's so much to talk about, but we're going to, it doesn't matter if it's anything relevant to what we're talking about.
You can say just hello to us. That'd be great too.
And if you have any events coming up in your That's vicariate, right. in your parish, that you think, if it's a pro-life event, you want people to hear about it, you know, please give us a call. And I'm not begging, but this is an open invitation here to join us and for us to give you a little bit of a platform to be able to invite people and, you know, publicize an event that's coming up. So if there's a Walk for Life or something like that, this is the time to do that. We normally don't open the lines like that. We usually say it's got to be relevant to the guest and the right. topic of the day. So
yeah, please call in. We would love to hear from you guys. And
yeah, and but there's one hitch, that we have a time constraint. So
yes.
you know, the fact that our main guest, when Peter Breen calls, you okay. know, the executive yeah. director of the Thomas More Society Pro-Life Law Center,
after the hearing,
when he calls. We will still take your calls, mm-hmm. But you know, he will take priority. So we want to hear what he's got to say about some of these important issues that he's working on, including this case. The Thomas More Society is helping to represent some of the bishops of Illinois in the Catholic Charities case against Lisa Madigan regarding adoptions and foster care and civil unions and all that. So it's kind of a I guess freedom of religion case here.
Wow.
And freedom to practice our faith. So in the meantime, I'd like to just go through some important pro-life news and some events
yes,
that
please.
We are going to be offering here in the Archdiocese. There's some exciting things going on. But I all, you know, to start, July, right now, actually, is the beginning of the Year of the Teen and Early Young Adult in the Archdiocese of Chicago under the newly launched strategic pastoral plan called Reflect Christ Light. It's kind of a cool name, you know, Reflect
yes,
Christ
yes.
Light, as long as they don't use lighters, you know. But if you have been wondering why so much emphasis has been placed on this demographic of, you know, teens and early young adults, now you know why, because this is the first year of, there's mm-hmm. 4 years of this pastoral plan that that's being launched here in the Archdiocese. So this is exciting times here. And it's only smart that the Catholic Church in Chicago works to include the youth and young adults in its activities. So, I mean, we're really excited about this. And we have a lot that we're doing in these areas. And I'm so glad that, Ray, you're able to join me today to talk about that. First up, we've got that Justice in Life Youth Leadership Summit. So can, you know, what's going on with that? I mean, why, you know, what is this all about? Why are we doing this? What events are going to, or what events, what issues mm-hmm. will we discuss? And why should parents and grandparents encourage the teenagers in their lives to, you know, get involved? Oh, actually, we're going to head to a break right now. So
I'll tell you more about it later.
Think about that, Ray. And when we get back, Ray will share more about this Justice in Life Youth Leadership Summit. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon and we'll see you at the finish line.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's theme is Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Called. We'll explore how we are signed by our baptism, sealed by the Holy Spirit, delivered from sin, and called to a life with Christ.
Experience Black Catholic spirituality through robust talks, prayer sessions, reconciliation, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry, lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community, and anyone else seeking a spiritual call to action.
Join us at Mawusi, Friday, July 22nd to Sunday, July 24th, at Techne Towers in Techne, Illinois, near Northbrook. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Also, check us out on Facebook. Search for Mawusi Chicago.
Are you Mawusi?
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese, and Ray Pingoy is my co-host today. He is my Youth Outreach Coordinator, and he was about to share all about this Justice in Life Youth Leadership Summit, but actually, I'm going to give you that phone number again, because this is Open Line Wednesday here on Life Talk, and I want to encourage you to call, and just if you have questions, comments, you know, about anything regarding pro-life issues, chastity, theology of the body. Ray, anything else we can think of?
Anything pro-life.
Anything pro-life. And our number is 312-255-8408. Again, 312-255-8408. So, Ray, what is the deal with this Justice in Life Youth Leadership Summit? Sounds kind of daunting.
Yeah, well, this is an exciting two-day event, actually. Last year, we had our very first one, and we had it here at Quigley, and it was received well. We want the youth to be able to stand up for justice in life, to train them, to give them the confidence. And also, the best thing about this is to let them know that they're not alone, and that there's other teens out there that believe in the same cause. And so we just give them that inspiration and encouragement to just stand up for justice in life and to learn more about these issues, the issues that they tend to research and also to learn about, because we give them like a a small project all throughout the two-day summit, human trafficking, embryonic stem cell research, immigration rights, euthanasia, domestic abuse, workers' rights, materialism, you know, theology of the body, even some so all of those things, just to give them the materials or just to give them that confidence again, just to stand up for what's right, for justice in life.
Yeah, and it prepares them for college.
For college,
high
yeah.
school. They're already in high school. But, and we teach them all about, there are foundational issues,
right.
like the right to life
right.
itself for, to be born, to not be put to death in terms of like assisted suicide, euthanasia, that those are foundational issues. And that, if you use like the picture of a house, that a diagram where the right to life issues are the foundation and the other justice issues are the walls, the cross beams, the roof, and if you don't have the foundational issues there, your house will collapse. You need that strong foundation of a right to life. So, really to be able to explain that to the youth, but also to expose them to other issues that our church really believes in, in caring for the marginalized, the defenseless, the, those who are in poverty, and kind of helping them to, we're not about handouts, but we're about helping people to get out of poverty. I believe our issues, chastity itself,
right.
And abstinence from drugs and alcohol and, other like risky behaviors can be that catalyst that can launch these kids out of a life of poverty or prevent them from a life of poverty.
Right.
So
yeah, that's in July 25 and 26. That's a Monday and a Tuesday. Again, a two-day event.
Yeah, and how do they, that's on our website, right?
This is on our website. It's going to be in St. Cletus Parish over there in LaGrange. You can call our office 312-534-5355 or just go ahead and visit our website, which is respectlifechicago.org. That's respectlifechicago.org. The flyer is over there on the homepage and also the registration form.
And I mean, this is so important that we reach the youth. So, whether they're low income, affluent, middle class, it doesn't matter. And we want a broad spectrum of youth there because I think it's good for them to get to know youth from other communities.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever, different ethnic backgrounds, black, white, Latino,
Asian.
Yeah. Just to really be exposed to different cultures and different ways of thinking and life and all that, different ways of cooking, all of it is good. It's really good. And it really prepares one to go to college and it gives them some of those skills to be able to do that and be a leader.
Yeah. So if you have any teens at home, any nephews or nieces, go ahead and register them. Go ahead and enroll them 13 years of age to 18 years. So this is, a teen event, all of them are welcome. Don't worry about the fee. There are scholarships that are available. So again, call our office 312-534-5355 or visit our respectlifechicago.org website. That's respectlifechicago.org.
And for more information on the Year of the Teen and your early young adults, people can go to just the archchicago.org website and under strategic pastoral plan, but they can find that on the website. I'm actually losing my voice. Not a good time to do that.
No.
But it's really exciting. And Nancy Polachek is the coordinator for the Strategic Pastoral Plan. So if you have any questions, you can also contact her at, there's an email address. It's strategicpastoralplan@archchicago.org. And then there's, the phone number is 312-534-5316. Sorry for all the numbers. But again, here's another number, is that call-in number. So remember, this is Open Line Wednesday. So we are taking your calls at 312-255-8408. Again, 312-255-8408. So, and also we've got... there's some important news. The bishops approved a statement against physician-assisted suicide. This is really exciting that they've all come together. They voted 191-1 wow. back at their Spring General Assembly in Seattle on June 16th. And they wrote, they approved this statement, and it's called To Live Each Day with Dignity. So it's really excited that they're, you know, making a statement from the full body of bishops, that they took time to devote to this issue. And you can find the full statement online. It's really a beautiful statement at usccb.org/to-live-each-day. Again, usccb.org/to-live-each-day. And to live each day is all one word. And they'll have a fact sheets, and they'll have articles on the issue, relevant church documents at that site, and prayers for use with those who are ill. So it's really a good opportunity. And we're going to head to a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk more about this statement and more interesting, exciting pro-life news. So stay tuned for more Life Talk.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This two-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, and I'm with my co-host here, Ray Pingoy, and this is Open Line Wednesday on Life Talk. So your calls are welcome at 312-255-8408. But right now we have a caller from Evanston. Joe in Evanston has a comment about St. Michael's. I guess there's a film festival. Joe?
Yes,
I'm here. Joe. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Margie, and hi, Ray. We happened to stop in your office last Friday, Father Jim and I.
Oh, that's great. You were the guy who wrote that message on our whiteboard.
I know. I just have that playful attitude, but you know, I keep Father Jim in prayer. Right now, he's going to Friday going to give the keynote at the Sarin International meeting up in Ottawa. The title is on the Camino of Father Junipero Serra, a guidepost for discipleship in the new evangelization. So keep Father Hyde in your prayers on that.
Will do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And Joe, I'm glad you could call in and share that. Because now, Sarin, is that the club, Sarah, where they support the priests?
They promote, they're promoting vocations, obviously. And Father Junipero is such a great model for our present time, where he had to work against so many obstacles, and yet he was able to really bring the faith to the whole West Coast and Mexico. His whole life is just exciting. So Father Jim is developing a white paper on that, so you'll hear more about that, Margie, with your work. But anyway, also we had a meeting last night on the St. Michael Film Festival, and because it's only a month away when it will start, that may be too short a fuse for your next show. That's going to be starting on the 5th of August, and sister or mother, Dolores Hart, will be the lead-off guest, who, of course, she was the famous actress who turned from her career as a budding young Grace Kelly to a cloistered Benedictine nun in Connecticut.
Wow,
and her life so she's going to be here to give like a discussion with the people, young people and so on, those who want to sort of look at their career, look at their life. The theme she's going to be working on is how to reintegrate their lives of young people into from this culture of death into a culture of life. So, and then there's going to be four other weeks with themes that are, where do I have my list here? Yeah, I think we're going to have on child labor, on forgiveness, on addictions and so on. So each of the evenings will be a stellar film through the Fridays of August. And the best place to go for information at this point, we don't have a website.
Okay.
It would be to St. Michael's through artchicago.org.
Okay.
And then just click on the St. Michael's in Old Town.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks
wow,
so much
that's
for
wonderful.
That
and okay. Thanks for stopping in and writing that message on our board in the office. Sorry we weren't there. You know, we all took off. I made sure that everybody took off on Friday. I figured it'd be slow,
yeah.
Just because we've got a busy summer, of the summer coming up and into the fall with 40 Days for Life.
We missed the Joe.
And that was Junipero Serra's feast, too, Friday.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, also the Sacred Heart.
Right, and Sacred Heart, and,
yeah.
we're praying for Pete at the hearing right now, so I pray that that
well. He is, actually, he's on the line right now waiting
good.
For us, so
right.
We're going to actually bring him up momentarily, so thanks for praying.
Thanks, Joe.
And have a great day, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And now we are joined by Peter Breen, and I'm hoping that we can get a good update here. Peter, are
yes.
you...
Yeah. Hey, Margie. How are you?
Good. Good. Hopefully, I can barely hear you. Hopefully, everybody can hear Peter. So, how did everything go?
Well, we did great work here today. And what happened was this: was a very serious case. A longtime pro-life individual, Andrew Schulberg, had been praying outside of the Albany late-term abortion clinic on the north side of Chicago, where mm-hmm. we've had 40 Days for Life campaigns, and he was accused of obstructing access to the clinic merely by praying in the vicinity of the alley. There's an alley that runs next to that abortion facility. So the charge was clearly frivolous, and we were looking forward to a big fight, and we went in there because it's very serious, because if he had been convicted of the local ordinance, so this is a local Chicago ordinance, it's got the same text as the federal FACE law. If he'd been convicted here locally, Eric Holder, the Attorney General, could have come into Chicago and filed suit against Andy and gotten a $10,000 fine from Andy and an injunction, which could have put Andy off the streets entirely so that he could not have prayed in front of that clinic ever again, and even have affected those who work with Andy, so other sidewalk counselors. So this is a very serious case, very serious matter, but I have good news.
Oh, good. Now, what happened?
Well, so here's what happened. The prosecutor got up there. Andy stood up, and I was there with him. And the prosecutor called out for the complaining witness, called out for anyone from the clinic, called out for the officer. No one was there.
Oh, good.
And while it certainly pained the city prosecutor, he looked at his watch. I think he was, for a minute there, he was thinking, well, let's just make everybody wait and see if someone shows up. It was already 9:15. You know, it was a 9 o'clock call. It was already 9:15, and so then he broke down and said non-suit.
Oh.
And, so we got the case dismissed, and this is really yet another example of the kind of harassment that the pro-abortion side has been meeting out on our good pro-life folks. Just like the Jill Holland case, where it was frivolous charge and forced his arrest. The David Avignone case, also where David was peacefully passing out literature on the sidewalk. He was arrested under false pretenses. So this is the strategy of the other side. And then to not even show up in court with complaining witnesses, they forced the charge to be dropped. And thankfully in this case, because we didn't want to have Andy in any trouble.
Wow, praise God. I bet you it was the traffic, because the traffic was really a mess in the city. So maybe they were caught up in it.
Well, I really believe that they just didn't bother to show up.
Probably.
If they wanted to be there, they would have been there early, and there would have been a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But wow, instead,
you
no.
Would think, you would think that they would be there. I mean, I don't want them to be there, but, you know, that is, you know, this only hurts them, their side. You know, so it only helps us. So, you know, praise God.
Yeah.
By default.
They had no confidence in the charges, is what it showed. And Andy, again, he was not blocking or obstructing in any way, shape, or form. So this was he was perfectly legal and proper in his activities. So the other side should be ashamed of this, trying to put peaceful pro-life people in jail for doing nothing. And we're going to look at restorative action. In other words, lawsuits for things like false arrest or abusive process against the clinic and their workers. So you may hear more about it. We're going to evaluate it. I'm not sure exactly. You know, we just got out of court here. We've really got to look at our facts and see if we can bring a civil lawsuit to remedy this. But it's great news, at least, that we've avoided any sort of further unpleasantness.
It's like it's an abuse of power. Really?
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
they're wasting time, you know, innocent people's time. People are losing money, you know, off of this. It doesn't make any sense. But it's the life we're in right now. We're kind of under a persecution here, it seems like.
From what I remember, too, that alley is not that narrow. I mean, it's pretty wide. You know, it's... To call the police and get them arrested and then not even showing up, that's...
So actually, we're going to head to a quick break here, and when we return, we're going to continue this conversation and talk about some more legal issues with Peter Breen. So stay tuned for more Life Talk.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, with co-host Ray Pingoy and our special guest on the phone line, Peter Breen, Executive Director and Legal Counsel for the Thomas More Society Pro-Life Law Center. And just a reminder that this is still Open Line Wednesday. And if you would like to call in with a question, comment, or to make an event announcement on a pro-life issue, an issue of chastity, theology of the body, family issue, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. So your calls are welcome. Now, Peter, you were talking about all that stuff outside the clinic and the bubble zone and all that. It just brings up to mind that the Face the Truth Summer Tour, the 2011 tour, is coming up starting on Friday, July 8th, actually just a couple days away. and that starts off in the Joliet area, but they have every day they're at another location. So on Saturday, July 9th, they're in the western suburbs of Aurora, Naperville, and near the Fox Valley Mall. They're also, they take Sundays off, and then they go downtown, and then it ends on, I have all this listed here on my computer, but it ends on Saturday, July 16th in the near north suburbs, which is Niles, Evanston, where Joe called from, and Lincolnwood. So it's really an interesting time out there to show people what abortion looks like. Some people don't agree with this. Some pro-lifers, there's a big debate on this. If you want information, call the Pro-Life Action League at 773-777-2900, or you can email them at info@prolifeaction.org. And I think their website is prolifeaction.org. So if you wanted just to search their site for all the information. So, Peter, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You were so quiet. I didn't, which is an unusual.
Oh, well, you were making your event announcement.
I wanted to just give them a plug because that is coming up and it's sort of related to what we're doing here and what we're talking about. But now I wanted to talk to you about some other issues. Well, also back to the clinic, the issue with the bubble zone. I mean, really, people have the right to be out there. And that they should be able to go, you know, encouraged to go out there. It's safe. It's just a matter of not blocking like a clinic entrance or something like that, right?
Right, right. And these are all things that folks know to avoid doing. You know, it's anytime you're outside of a business establishment, you don't stand in the driveway and, you know, stop people from driving in. You know, if you happen to be crossing the sidewalk, well, that's fine. They may have to delay very slightly in order to get in. But, you know, that's different than obstructing them actively or really what the intent of that face law was if, it was really to stop the rescue movement. So people that actually went inside abortion clinics or chained themselves to abortion clinics, that was what the face law was intended to remedy. So most folks now know not to do that. Because the consequences are so much more severe than they used to be, so that's really, you know, that is something that everybody knows about. You know, when you are at the Planned Parenthood in Chicago, that's one of the clinics that we've got an issue with the other law called the Bubble Zone Law, and that one really the idea is you're not supposed to approach people with a leaflet or a sign or an oral message unless they give their consent. And so that's something that you do have to watch out for a little bit. But most folks are going out. If you've not been out before, you're going out usually to pray.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're standing still and praying, or you're just, you know, you may be walking in a circle and praying or what have you. If you're going to be a sidewalk counselor, then usually you've received some training, and folks normally don't just walk out and start sidewalk counseling. And the, so they,
yeah,
they
the majority of people who go out to the clinics are there to pray.
Right.
I mean, and you know, when I go out, when I used to go out every Saturday to the Planned Parenthood in on LaSalle and Division, I mean, we were, majority of us were there to pray. And there were some times where there wasn't even a sidewalk counselor there because, you know, maybe there was three or four of us and none of us were trained at counseling. And I was not very good at it myself. I wasn't part, you know, called to that ministry. Now, there's a couple of, I wanted to talk about, you know, with you, Peter and Ray, about these news stories about in Poland and in Russia, really clamping down and limiting, putting limitations on abortion, where in Poland, you know, it looks like they might even ban abortion totally. And they had a bill where the vote was 254 to 151 in the lower house. And, you know, I don't know the way the Polish system of government works, but agreeing to send it to a committee for further examination. They had 600,000 signatures collected in 2 weeks.
Wow.
We can't, I mean, the, you know, Poland is a different situation, obviously, than the United States. But, you know, they had great limitations on abortion. And then you have Russia. They're getting ready to put warning labels on abortion ads. And they want to, you know, warn women about the health risks associated with the procedure. They're looking to promote women to carry a child, their child, to term and parent. And, you know, they want to have parental consent for teenagers, husband's consent for married women, and mandating a 1 week waiting period, including increasing the monthly government subsidy offered to pregnant women, because they're just, they're aborting so many children. And I guess they're underreported, like most countries, but in 2007, I think they reported 1.5 million abortions, but some Russian officials believe that it is more like 6 million annually. So their abortion rate is 1,022 infants are aborted for every 1,000 who are allowed to be born. I mean, Peter, this is unbelievable. But if Russia were to, you know, start limiting abortions, I mean, that would, I think, spread. I think that might be a catalyst for other countries.
Right. Well, and one of the interesting things about the Russia situation is that it in some sense is parallel to the efforts at the state levels here in the United States to show that abortion has very serious consequences, serious health risks, and all of that. And so there are certain states trying to get, you know, almost like what they're doing in Russia, which is like a warning label, essentially, on abortions. And so having other countries in the world putting those sorts of warnings, if you will, on abortion as a procedure really helps us in this country to continue to spread the message that abortion is dangerous. There are a lot of side effects. It is a permanent solution to a temporary situation. So that is something that, you know, the message can be put out. It really should be put out here, and it's great to see it being put out in other parts of the world.
Yeah, we're going to head to a quick break, and when we return, we're going to discuss more about these pro-life news stories with Peter Breen. So stay tuned for more Life Talk.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Catholic Charities Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, joined by my co-host, Ray Pingoy, and special guest, Peter Breen, who's on the phone. And we were talking about all different pro-life issues from around the world. And also, Peter, you updated us on that little hearing that could have been a bigger, much bigger deal over the Chicago ordinance called the bubble zone ordinance. Say that 20 times fast. So thanks for giving us that breaking news. But I want you to update us on some important cases here in Illinois. There's a parental notice of law from 1995. Is that correct? And
right.
You're in the process of, you're part of that whole fight to get that thing enforced, I guess?
Right. The Thomas More Society has been involved with this law for many years. Some of our special counsel, Paul Linton, had been involved in the passage of the original legislation back in 95. And you know, this was the law that had been stopped because the Supreme Court didn't issue the right rules back in 95 and 96. Well, in 2006, or actually it was in 2005, again, our special counsel, Paul Linton, said, hey, there's a totally different Supreme Court. Let's get the rules issued. And Justice Bob Thomas, who then was the Chief Justice, he was a good pro-life justice. He got those rules issued, and frankly, unanimously, all seven justices agreed, yes, the rules should be issued. We've been stuck, though, in court since that time with the ACLU. The Attorney General has been representing the state of Illinois, and the representation has been better. It's been not as good at times. But what we have done is, you know, we've been representing two downstate state's attorneys who have been attempting to intervene. So actually get into the case specifically to argue as parties on behalf of the law. So far, that effort on our part, we've been unsuccessful at intervening, but we've been able to keep the Attorney General fighting to keep this law in force, to have it ruled constitutional. So that's really been the fruit of our work so far. We also filed an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, on behalf of 21 state's attorneys, including the state's attorneys of DuPage County and Winnebago County, which is where Rockford is, and many other counties. So we've been very active in this case. But what happened lately? You know, we won in the federal court. We won in the trial court and the state court. The state appellate court in Chicago overturned that decision of the trial court, though. They said they overturned essentially every part of the ruling of the trial court in Chicago. We respectfully contend that the decision is extremely flawed. During the oral argument, the justices wanted to talk about the evolution of the Illinois Constitution, that our jurisprudence can, quote, evolve. Even though our Constitution, it was not passed in the late 1700s, it was passed in 1970. So there's really not much evolving. We haven't enough time, really, to even make an argument about evolution, even if you buy into that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are doing right now, we are very hopeful, and we're going to take steps to try to get this case up in front of the Supreme Court. The appellate court decided the case in such a way that they wanted to send it back and delay the law further, send it back to the trial court, and have more proceedings back in the state trial court. We believe that at this point the law is ready to be considered by the Illinois Supreme Court, and we would very much like for them to take a look at this and to review it. Remember, this is the same Illinois Supreme Court that issued the rules that are now allowing this law to be litigated.
Okay.
So I'm assuming they didn't issue the rules because they wanted to have the law tied up for 6 years and then be declared unconstitutional. I'm assuming they issued the rules because they want this law in effect.
And did you say, was it unanimous on behalf of those justices?
Well, the rules were issued unanimously, and they issued all seven of them issued a letter. You know, this is four Democrats, three Republicans. All seven of them issued a letter to the Attorney General asking her to defend the law vigorously.
Wow.
And at the same time, this appellate court decision was a 3-0 decision against us. Now, all three justices had different reasons why they voted against us, but all three of them did. And so we've got a tough road to hoe here, but we do firmly believe that at the end of the day, we're going to have our law in effect. It's just the folks on the other side, the ACLU, have been trying to delay the effectiveness of the law in every way they possibly can. And we really, that effort needs to be identified, pointed out, and rejected by all of us. So we're fighting very hard here. And again, our hope is that the Attorney General will lead the way to go to the Illinois Supreme Court. And if she doesn't, then we're going to have to look at other options, which we do have in terms of trying to get this case in front of the Supreme Court.
Wow, this Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, she's really a problem. And so we're going to head to a quick break, and when we return, we're going to talk more about our Attorney General and how she's causing us problems. So stay tuned for more Life Talk.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
We'll take you to Holy Name Cathedral for the ordination ceremony of 10 new priests. We'll show you highlights from Rome of the beatification of Pope John Paul II. And we'll talk to Cardinal Francis George about the significant issues that are covered in his latest book, God in Action.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Who do you know in their 20s or 30s? Adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing gifts in many ways.
However connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single.
It's an opportunity for them to meet good people their own age.
To deepen their faith and spirituality.
To make connections between faith and everyday life.
And explore the things that matter most.
It's a chance for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they in turn can pass it to others.
We encourage you to personally invite young adults to Theology on Tap. It begins July 10th at locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
Well, Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, with co-host Ray Pingoy and our special guest on the phone, Peter Breen. But before we get back to Peter, real quick, I want to just update you on an event that's coming up. It's a free conference, pro-life conference, Couples for Christ Foundation for Family and Life. They invite you to a pro-life summit to be held on July 16th at the Hyatt Regency Hotel O'Hare, which is 9300 Bryn Mawr Avenue in Rosemont. And this event will start at 8 a.m. and end at noon. And I believe the 8 a.m. means that's the Mass. And that's Bishop Kane. And he will be celebrating the opening Mass for this conference. They have Father Pavone, the National Director of Priests for Life, and he's part of the lineup of speakers that morning, including Marjorie Dannenfelser, for president of the Susan B. Anthony List. And that's a group that helped to spearhead this coalition to defund Planned Parenthood. And also Joe Scheidler, the founder and national director of Pro-Life Action League, will be there to speak. And Dr. LaGaya Acosta, I believe is how you say her name. Is that a, obviously that's a right. woman. From Human Life International. She's the regional coordinator for Asia, who will give an update on the controversial reproductive health bill in the Philippines that would will introduce aggressive population control if passed. So this is an exciting event. It's free of charge, free parking at the hotel for attendees of the conference. And if you want more information or to register, I believe it's cffllillinois.com, or you can call 630-953-8293, or you can email cfcfflusa.il@gmail.com. And if for some reason you can't figure all that out, call us at the Archdiocese at 312-534-5355. So we're back with Peter, and I wanted to quickly have you kind of give us a quick update of what you can tell us publicly about this case where you're representing, or you know, part of the representation of a few dioceses and their Catholic charities against, I believe it's the Attorney General's office.
Yes. Well, we are representing the Catholic Charities of the Dioceses of Springfield, Peoria, and Joliet on behalf of their Catholic Charities against the state of Illinois, and that also would be the Attorney General, the Department of Children and Family Services. And we just added today, we've added to the lawsuit the Illinois Department of Human Rights. So we have got pretty much the entire Illinois government because what they have tried to do, as many folks know, we now have the civil unions. Those are now effective in Illinois. Those were brought here through a law called the Religious Freedom Protection and Civil Unions Act. And throughout the consideration of that act, the legislators said, hey, religious entities, you're going to be fine. We're not going to stop your social services that you provide, through because of your religious mission. Well, that was what was said as the law was being passed and signed. Almost immediately thereafter, then, the Attorney General issued a letter to Catholic Charities of the various dioceses, accusing them of discrimination. And then we hoped that that was just an isolated incident, that that was not actually the position of the Attorney General's office. So we were trying to get a meeting. We couldn't. We filed suit to make sure that we protected our rights on behalf of the Catholic Charities. And then we finally had a meeting with the Attorney General's office just about a week or so ago, and they made clear to us in no uncertain terms that their belief was the civil unions law requires Catholic Charities and other religious entities to place children with civil union couples and to do all of the services for civil union couples that they would do for married couples. And so Catholic Charities can't do that in good conscience and in faith, so we are now forced to continue in court. And what we did, just today, was added new plaintiffs, or new defendants, rather. So we've got our three dioceses as plaintiffs. We've added new defendants, the Illinois Department of Human Rights, which is where you would make discrimination complaints. We've filed a new complaint, and we very shortly will be going in to seek injunctive relief. So because we do not believe that Catholic Charities is discriminating in any way, we believe we're protected under Illinois law. And we hope to prove that in court.
Wow, that's a lot. How do you feel about the case? I mean, do you feel confident?
Right. I'll tell you. In other parts of the country, other Catholic charities have just shut down. In Illinois, we have a good legal structure. We are not looking to overturn any laws in the state of Illinois. We're looking to have the laws enforced because they protect Catholic charities and other religious adoption agencies as they're written. So we believe that we're in good legal shape here. We believe the Attorney General's office is really misinterpreting this law and not looking at it in the way it was intended by the legislature. And so we've got to go to the courts. It's kind of, you know, we've got this system of three branches of government. The legislature was pretty clear about its intentions that Catholic charities and religious adoption agencies be protected. So the legislative branch was fine. Now, all of a sudden, the executive branch is overturning the legislative branch, so we've got to go to the judicial branch, the courts, to now resolve the dispute.
Well, that's great, Peter. And, you know, we're almost out of time, so thank you for joining us on this edition, our monthly edition, or July edition of Life Talk. So, and I will see you later, since you're my husband. So,
thank you, Margie. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks so much, and God bless your work.
Oh, God bless you guys.
Okay, take care. Now, Ray, can you give us real quick TOB update? We only have a few seconds.
TOB, Friday, August 12th, that's the high school edition one. That's in Queen of the Rosary, Elk Grove Village. And on a Saturday, August 13th, is the middle school edition.
And it's all on our website at respectlifechicago.org.
Call us if you have
any
questions.
Definitely. So make sure to mark your calendar to tune into Life Talk on the first Wednesday of every month from 9 to 10 a.m., where we discuss issues that make a difference in your life. So for Ray Pingoy, this is Margie Mansko-Breen on Relevant Radio, AM 950, the Catholic Community of Faith. Have an enjoyable and safe month of July, and we look forward to another edition of Life Talk in August. God bless you all.